When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hope you guys are ready because hockey is back and we are live. Hockey Royalties back in action here. We are talking about the land down under, the rookie tournament, and all the fixings getting ready for this upcoming season. So get in the chat, like, and subscribe. Let's go. I mean, I don't know if you guys can tell that I'm pumped, and I hope you guys are pumped. Everybody in the chat is pumped. It's hockey season, everybody. We got some real live puck being played, and we're here to talk about it. But before we get into the deep, in the weeds, in the penalty box, gotta see how my co-hosts are doing. Russ, Joe, how you guys feeling up here? How are we ready for this? We ready for this matchup here? Are we ready for the season? We trying to throw down some beers and watch some hits into the boards. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, if you think about it, we have a full weekend of Kings hockey this weekend. You got a game on Friday night. We got a game on Saturday night with the two Australia games. And we got a game Sunday night in Anaheim. So, yeah, hockey's here. Finally.
It is hard not to get excited about this. The itch is back. Hockey's back. Speaking of which, sort of side note, like to get talking about that hockey itch. Took the son today, the older son. He's got all geared up. He had to get new skates. He's got hockey pants, shoulder pads, gloves, elbow pads, put it all on. He's fired up. Hockey's live and well. Here we go. Here we go. Ready to go.
Proud papa getting his son some gear. I like fired it. Up. So how old is he? And then where, is it like Mighty Mites in football where they're just a bunch of like amoebas just going around? Like trying to stand up. How's it going?
So I got him on the ice about 3 years old. He's going to turn five in November. So a couple months will be five. So I got him on the ice skating at 3 years old. So I've just kind of been me and him going to open skates or whatever for the last year or so. Going to get him into like a learn to skate, like, so he can go listen and hear it from other people and get out there with a bunch of other kids and stuff. So it'll be a learn to skate program. See how he takes to it. Hopefully he falls in love and we're off and running. And then, yeah, it'll be like, you know, mites and stuff like that on the way up. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully he is.
Al Smith coming in. What are you on, Randon? I'm on excitement. I'm on pure bliss. I'm on hockey, baby. Let's go. Let's go. I'm excited. You know, football's in. Football's great. You know, win some money, fantasy football, that kind of stuff. I'm in too many leagues. Wait, I've overextended myself there. But I'm happy for some hockey there. I'm sad that I'm going to miss the opening round because I'll be in Europe, but I'll be in Europe, so I'll get over it, right? So it is what it is there. But no, I'm just pumped up. I'm glad to be back with my boys, man. We haven't talked hockey in a long time. It should be a good episode. I'm glad that you fans are in here ready to go. I'm already looking. We're a couple of minutes in. We're already 25 strong in the chat. So let's throw those fingers of type in here and let's get going on this. Rookie faceoff started off. Obviously, Russ, you were there in good hockey royalty fashion and seeing what was going on there during the games, three games for the Kings. I don't want to break out every single game because I think that would be a little nuisance. But let's start with the highs there. Where were you most surprised or excited about what happened with the rookie faceoff, and where were some bright points for you?
Yeah, the rookie faceoff, another – I guess a fun event. I mean, it's always a good time. I mean, I met a couple fans down there. Got to talk to a lot of NHL involved people. So it's always a good time. And also it's kind of like the precursor, the prelude to the hockey season, right? It's just kind of getting ready for the season coming up. But yeah, from a Kings perspective, I mean, going into this, in terms of like expectations for how the team would do, I would say it's probably lower compared to the past few years. I mean, this is a Kings team in terms of rookie faceoff that went into this year's events as with really no first round picks on the roster compared to the Quentin Byfields who have been around. Brant Clark participated last year, Alex Turcotte, and all those players. But so this roster had a little bit more roster invites included in it. And then I guess maybe I'm not sure, but the highest pick player that the Kings had was like a second rounder. But all in all, I mean, from my perspective, all the players that you perhaps wanted to see do well, in my opinion, did really well. And I guess in terms of surprises, the big surprise for me, and I guess the story of the weekend for the Kings, was Jacob Ingham. I mean, this is a player that really nobody's kind of – we've all just kind of overlooked, right? I mean, Eric Portillo's come in. He's been almost enshrined as like the next coming in terms of in net. Also, he's a third-round pick. There's kind of a project in terms of that. So Jacob Ingham's kind of been flown under the radar, and a lot of it had to do with his injury last year, where he pretty much missed all last season due to back surgery from an injury in rookie faceoff last year in San Jose. So, I mean, that first game, it was just like watching that game and how Jacob Ingham performed through that first, I guess, 30 minutes or so, because he came out about midway through the second period. I mean, he was the best player on the ice for both teams. When you are able to save 29 shots in the time that he was on the ice and like midway through a game, he gets a full game's worth of action in his first game back. I mean, you could just tell like the emotions were also glowing when we talked to him after the game too. He talked about it, how everything that had kind of taken him off the ice and all that work that he had been through in terms of rehab and the surgery involved, it was all going through his head at the start of the game. But once he kind of got into the action, he just felt comfortable. And like I said, when we talked to him after the game, it was like oh, it's weird because he's almost just started to get emotional talking about it. And it, like, almost got me emotional, because you can just see the way he's talking about, like, how he writes like something to prove on his helmet, how he's coming to the season with something to prove. And then he's talking about just his first hockey game in almost a year. I mean, it was just a great story. And it's now become a player that I'm going to be rooting for the coming to the season. So definitely the MVP of the weekend for me was Jacob Ingham. And it's going to be a fun story to watch for him, how he goes with the year.
Hopefully, hopefully he gets an ice back after that game and gets going ready for the season. Joe, I know you rewatched a little bit of it there going on. Where were one of your bright spots there in what you saw?
The two that were not really a surprise, but it was just kind of, as Russ said, the guys that you kind of expected or hoped to be the better players, they sure looked the part. I really liked LaFerriere and Pinelli. They looked really, really good. But again, more or less expected. So I was like, just more like, okay, kind of easing the mind. But for me, I had kind of a couple of players that really, I really enjoyed watching. Kim Nousiainen, I've liked since he came over to Ontario. Yeah. I remember when Randon, I don't remember if it was Making It Rain or if it was after the fact, but when Nousiainen was somebody that was ending his season over in Europe, and I was watching video of him in Europe, I'm like, I like this kid quite a bit. Love the skating, good puck mover, can run a power play. Like he's a good little player.
And then on the power play, he sits in the crease, even though he's like 5'7". Like he's just doing like liver shots to the defenseman, like getting the position and stuff. I love, man.
Yeah,
guy's a sap.
I like him quite a bit, and he could see an even more even bigger role in Ontario this year. So he's somebody that I definitely have an eye on. And somebody else that really caught my eye on the blue line was Angus Booth. I thought this kid looked pretty good. Of all the defensemen I did not see all of the games, but in the game, what I was able to see, Booth and Nousiainen looked far and away the best two defensemen. I really liked Angus Booth quite a bit. Bigger, a little bit bigger, you know, of course, than Nousiainen is, but again, smooth skater, can move the puck well. He played some power play time. His instincts too, like there were a couple of moments where he would like have a give and go play, jump into the play. Like I really like what he brings to the table. And you know, conveniently enough for the both of them, they're a couple of left shot defensemen. And lastly, a player that stood out to me that I came away impressed with was a player that I came away impressed with last year at this time. Like I really liked Attu Jamson last year. He was solid, like an under the radar unassuming, but really good puck protection, good handles on him, smart player. You can tell the way he reads the ice, his vision. So again, like, I don't want to say that I was like, oh, okay, good. He looks good again. And I was just, I didn't want to take it for granted because I liked him last year. So I'm getting a little bit more excited about Jamson than maybe I had been, say, a year or two ago. But so those were a few of the positives that stuck out for me.
I mean, yeah, I thought you were getting into his. You were getting into his lettuce.
Well,
a little bit, and then his board plays, you know. But Jamson, a top shelf lid there going for everybody. I really like what you were saying there with Kim Nousiainen, and I want to get into this. A lot of people are reiterating what you said, and we talked about it in that podcast about how you need a veteran that needs to show himself that he's a veteran, that he needs to dominate the ice, he needs to go in there. And, you know, obviously the Pinellis and the LaFerrières had a great tournament, but we're talking about Kim Nousiainen, right? I mean, he's a little bit older. He's played in Europe with men. He's got that graduation, kind of flew under the radar last year, didn't really take that next step, but he was on the ice. And a lot of people in the chat, I mean, right here, like, you know, Uro's coming in. Kim was looking really good running the power play in Finland before coming to the US, right? Mm-hmm. Nousiainen really opened my eyes. He's really fun. Love how he gets back too. When he gets a little bit too deep, so he's able to get play in the offensive zone and get back and recover in the defensive zone. And Nick Froman coming in here saying Attu Jumps Hair was the MVP of the tournament. I agree of that. So Kim Nousiainen, obviously left side of the D has been a huge topic in the last 2 years. You know, he's not that big, strong defenseman. He's not going to punish you with the hits, but he's a puck moving guy. Joe, you love the puck moving guys. You love the guys that are able to facilitate the offense. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from Kim Nousiainen? And then Russ, I want you to piggyback on him after he gets done.
Yeah. Well, you know, similar to what you had just kind of hit on a couple of the pieces, like when I didn't know, I'll go back a little bit. So I didn't know a ton about the player, but when, again, I think it was right around the time when his season was in, I think he came over around the same time as Hellenius, I want to say. Was it a season ago or a season?
It was
I believe he came over after Finley's,
prior season, not this past season, but the season before, right? And so I started watching some clips of him and some video of him, and I'm like, oh boy, this is a player. Like, this is somebody that, you know, obviously we'll see how it translates when he comes over to North America. But this is a player. So I was really, really excited. And I mean, I saw, that's exactly what I saw coming out of, or in over the weekend in this camp. Now I didn't see enough of, and I'd be curious to pick Kyle Garcia's brain on how Kim Nousiainen looked in Ontario. I just didn't see enough of him in the AHL last year to know, you know, where he's at and how he fit in. But, you know, a full season's worth of AHL games under his belt is only going to help him. And I think that he, you know, as we head into this season, you know, he's somebody that you will see how the rest of camp goes, but he's certainly somebody that's like, hey, if he continues to play big minutes in Ontario and plays a good role, if something happens in LA, maybe he's somebody that gets a call to in an injury situation, for example. I mean, I don't think I'm not exactly going to put him in the competition for that third pair D, because I don't think that's the case, but he's at least somebody that hopefully, and I assume the case that the organization's, you know, certainly got their eyes on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a player that now we're seeing this almost offensive talent come to fruition a little bit more with his game. The last few times I agree, like, I'm with you where I didn't really pay much attention to him in Ontario. And I know he's probably playing behind like a Tobias Bjornfoot and down the left side, and Jake Mavari probably too as well. So I don't know if he got too much ice time, but yeah, going into this year, looking at the left side, he's probably gonna be a player that's going to be quarterbacking a power play more often than not with the Ontario rain. And the thing that I really liked about Nousiainen and what I noticed was a lot of the off ice stuff is that he was really kind of almost like the fun guy within the locker room. Like, whenever we were doing media scrums, he would always walk by and kind of try to make the guy laugh and stuff like that. And that's kind of stuff you want to see. You want to see them ingrained into the locker room a little bit and bring that kind of that aspect in terms of that locker room culture, because that's what the Kings have always talked about, is building that culture in the locker room. And it seems like something that he's really getting along with a lot of the guys on the team, and he's become a real presence on the blue line in terms of being able to see the play happen in front of him and carry the puck up the ice and find that open man with that first pass. So a lot of good stuff that I liked from Kim Nosanian. And yeah, I'm going to be watching him a little bit more with the rain this year.
I hope he does get a larger role, because you're right. I mean, when you've got Bjornfoot and Mo Virari along the left side there in Ontario, you know, he probably didn't quite get, you know, as much time as maybe he could. And that he could still very well be behind them this year, but I kind of would like to see them thrust him into a more advanced role, just to see how he handles it, because I think there's a player there.
I think they're going to take a step back in the rain. And as far as the blue line is concerned, you have Jordan Spence competing for an NHL roster spot. You have Brent Clark competing for an NHL roster spot. So Nusainen could be that number one power play. If they send one of those previously mentioned guys down, maybe he's number two. So he might not be, you know, normal 5-on-5 first pairing, but you could see him working some power play time in there, because his skating is undeniable. And he's able to find those good passes, you know, through different defenders, through the sticks. I really like what he brings to the table, you know, shorter guy, but I don't think he has the tenacity of a Torey Krug, but he has that kind of skating style where he's not afraid to go to the net. He's not afraid to abandon his post for an offensive opportunity. But he's a very good skater, and I think that it's something that you need to watch for. Maybe if multiple injuries happen, he gets a cup of coffee, but I'm more intrigued of him working his way up the ladder of the AHL. So maybe by the end of the season, he is defenseman lefty one and power play one based on what he's doing.
Yeah.
The other lefty in, you know, number one draft pick of this year, Russ, I know that you sent out a tweet, or not a tweet, you sent out a private message in our group chat about Dvorak, but Kyle Larson is saying, what do you guys think of Dvorak? I didn't think his skating was bad enough to not to be an NHLer, still young. But Russ, you weren't impressed during the rookie faceoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to look at these performances in rookie faceoff and come away with a lot of negatives, because that's not really what these things are about. I mean, the thing with Dvorak, I think we look at is we probably give him a little bit more hype than usual, just because if there was a first round pick in this year's draft, we probably wouldn't be talking about Dvorak as much as we are. But because he's the first pick of the draft that the Kings had, there's a little bit more of a spotlight shown on him. So when he comes into this rookie faceoffs, when he comes in the development cap, everybody's gonna be looking at him because he's the new guy. He's the new guy, the highest draft pick Kings have. So when I'm watching him play, I mean, we've read the scouting reports. We've heard about his skating from Scott Wheeler. The Kings maybe feel a little bit differently. So I wanted to look at it a little bit more objectively when I'm watching him play. And I see some of that negative aspect in terms of skating. There were times where he maybe was trying to do a little bit too much. Maybe that Brant Clark kind of style where he's pinching up boards, trying to make something happen on the offensive zone. And he would get caught up ice quite a bit. It happened, maybe four or five times throughout the weekend. And it turned into odd man opportunities the other way. And unfortunately, like with his skating ability, it takes him a little while to get kind of transition back to defensive style. But with Dvorak, I think he had a decent weekend. This is his first rookie faceoff, so it's kind of like hard. He's coming into a team in an environment he's thrust brand new in, right? So it's hard to be so hard on the player, but there were some good things that I liked about Dvorak that I hadn't really noticed before. I think he's got a really sneaky good shot from the blue line that kind of jumps off his stick that I was pretty surprised about. And then he plays really well in one-on-one situations, whether it's along the boards or he's defending the player right in front of him, backing up into his own zone. But in terms of offensive play, like reading the play, it's definitely a contrast from what we've seen in the past from like a player like Brant Clark. And I don't want to compare the two, but I'm just kind of saying, this is a player that's going to take some time to develop. You can see the, obviously you can't teach size, and he's got the reach involved with being 6'5", but there is some, I guess, parts of his game that need a little bit more work, and just kind of by what they've released in terms of the training camp roster, it certainly looks like they've already sent him or he's going to be going back to Europe. Cause I haven't seen him on any of the rosters in training camp so far. So that looks to be the case, which I think is the right decision. Cause you want him to keep percolating over there in the Czech league. So there were some things I liked from Dvorak, but I can tell he's going to be a little bit of a project.
He's an 18-year-old big, big body prospect who has some deficiencies, but the probably one of the biggest things is the multitude of injuries that he's had in his development at this age. So, I mean, I'll be honest, like of all the guys that I talked about with, like you come in with a certain maybe expectation for a guy like Laferriere, Pinelli, or even some of these other guys, I didn't have any expectations for Dvorak. I didn't care per se how he quote unquote looked, maybe just curious, but hopefully he stays healthy. And, you know, the Kings have a good development plan for him. As you mentioned, I didn't see him on the roster either, Russ. So he's going to go and he's going to get a crap ton of ice time, I presume. And that'll hopefully be really good for him. So I honestly, like, wouldn't go too hard into this one way or the other. I just think he's a project and you know, there's going to be patience that's required with him. And I would just like to point out kind of along those lines of a project, because I did see a lot of, maybe not a lot, I shouldn't say that, but there were some frustrations perhaps on the Twitter machine about Eric Portillo. And again, really, really, really want to level set expectations. Like, I don't know what people's expectations were for Portillo. Like, I wanted the trade. Like, this is something we talked about. I love getting a prospect in the system because the system's thin. And goalie prospects, so all about the trade. But I think I said it shortly after the trade, he's probably a solid 2 years in the AHL. Like, I think he is very, very raw. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, have some struggles this year as he adapts to the pro game. Like, I think we're not, barring injury or emergency situation, like, I'm not expecting Portillo anywhere near the NHL this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is, again, two full seasons in the AHL. Never know. He could be a goalie and win a Vezina in 2 years. What do I know? But
hashtag goalies, right?
Exactly. They're crazy. But no, I really, really think that this is another guy that people really have to be patient on. Don't go crazy when, you know, he has a bad couple of months in Ontario, because he's adapting to the pro game. I think this is going to be a big, big adjustment for Portillo. So I just want to throw that out there to make sure expectations are kind of level set.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is another case where the expectations are probably a little inflated just based off the circumstance, right? Yeah. I mean, you just look at the Kings pipeline in net, it's Eric Portillo. So everything that Eric Portillo does is going to be under a microscope. And like, I'm totally with you. Like, when he came in and there were goals being let in, like, sure, you can say there were soft goals. It is what it is. But I mean, just like you just said, he's going to be a project. He's come in as a project. Nobody's expecting him to get NHL games this season. And if he does, there's probably something bigger going on. There's a bigger problem is going on. And yeah, I agree with you. I think another maybe 2 years is what we would see in the AHL with him on the rain. Wouldn't be the worst thing. So yeah, he's going to be a project. We'll have to wait to see a little bit more. But that's kind of why I go back to Jacob Ingham, because you look at the Kings pipeline in net, and this is really – I mean, anybody can just take the reins and be the number one goaltender in the Kings organization in terms of prospects. So if Jacob Ingham, who can continue to build off of this momentum he's got going from the rookie faceoff, can continue that into which would more likely be some preseason action in these first couple of games, I would expect – I mean, that's going to be another player we'll have to watch in net, and not just Eric Portillo, too. So I'm excited from both the goaltenders. And it's just, I guess, it's something to look forward to in net, where we haven't really had that opportunity in the past in Kings prospects.
So Carson McNitt coming in here. Thank you for coming in the chat. I don't think I've ever seen you post a comment here, so appreciate you listening to the pod. Portillo is a project, but goalies take a while to develop. I have faith. It's his first pro season. I'm not expecting him to kill it. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, right? Played for Michigan. Was a top goaltender 2 years ago. One of the best goaltenders in the NCAA. Had a down season because of the team. So was he carried? Was it a circumstance of just having a down season? So I think there's a lot of things coming in here for me that I'm a little bit concerned about. He hasn't had one practice game rookie face off where he stood out as a contributor or as a guy who could stop pucks. He's allowed pucks in every single time. So for me, it's a little bit of concern there. Like, hey, this guy's a big 6'6" stalwart. Like, show me something. Like, give me one good glimpse, right? Like, if we're going to talk about Byfield later, but Byfield showed glimpses. And then you're like, hey, I need production. Like, I haven't seen a glimpse from Portillo. And so let me just finish, Joe. I think that I'm not – and there's no expectations from Portillo for me. So where those things are coming in here and I'm like, hey, I haven't seen anything or this or that or what's going on. Yeah, that's a harsh criticism. That's accurate criticism. But I'm not expecting him to come in and play the second half of the season for the Kings. Yeah. I'm not exactly expecting him to go have a 1.5, goal per average for the rain this season. I'm just saying that he had a great season. He was one of the best goalies in the NCAA. Then had a decent season and then hasn't had any good tape or games for the Kings, period. So where is this here? Did he have a miraculous season because Michigan was one of the top five teams in the NCAA and they carried him? Or does this kid actually have talent? I just have questions.
That's fair. And listen, I think he's a raw talent. But let's just be clear. There's a very real chance he doesn't make it, right? The Kings made this trade. I guess I'm not going to pretend to be in their front office, but there's a glaring need in the organization for goaltending prospects. The Sabres had a plethora. The trade just made sense, and you didn't give up a significant asset to do it.
Not knocking the trade at all. I love the
trade.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is it was a dart throw, and that's fine. So I see what you're saying. Like, you want to see something. It's going to take a while. So
is it a dart throw, Joe? Third round pick isn't nothing. Like, we've got plenty of third round picks. That's not a dart throw. You went out and asked for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, I don't think it's a dart throw. I think it's a registered move by the Kings. And it hasn't paid off so far. And that's fair to say. Like, it's only been, what, five games, six games? Like, there's nothing wrong with Portillo or Patillo. I'm just saying that it hasn't been what I thought it would be so far. And well,
he hasn't even played, like, an actual game yet. So, but I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, you want to see something, right? Because we haven't seen anything in terms of the goalie prospect pipeline.
Well, Ferrier's a third-round pick, and we've seen plenty from him.
I'm just kind of focusing on the goalies. And I'll focus on the goalies for now. I mean, when was the last goalie that we've seen in the Kings system that has impressed us? I can't really think of one. It's been that long, right?
David Hrenek? David Hrenek,
I mean,
played college.
And where's
hockey
he right now?
He's
in Europe. Yeah. So it's like, I get it. It's just, you want to see flashes. He's come in as this new kind of heir apparent in net for the Kings. So patience is going to have to be there for Portillo, because I agree with Joe. It's just like, we just have to give it time with Portillo. Because, I mean, the physicals are there. The physicals are there. He's a 6'6" goalie that can move pretty well. He's just got to have some time. He's coming straight from college, straight into the professional league. So, I mean, who knows if he gets – I would expect him to get a lot of time with the Ontario Rainbow. I mean, with how Ingham performs, it'll be interesting to see how they split that too, because
I'd be Riddick kinda, down there.
Yeah, I know, and you have Riddick down there. So, it'll be interesting to see how they split it with those three, because – I'd be a little disappointed if Ingham kind of continued this momentum throughout the preseason, continued to show a lot of the flashes that he showed in the rookie faceoff, and then they just sent him to Greenville. Because I want to see a little bit more out of that. I want to see him continue that momentum with the Ontario.
I want to ask you guys this, because I came up – I didn't come up with this, but it stemmed from the NFL allowing three quarterbacks on the team or to suit up on game day, right? I mean, obviously they have the e-bug and all that kind of stuff like that. But the third goalie doesn't count against the cap. I think that might be a situation for the NHL there, right? So, hey, you have all three goalies. The third one doesn't count against the cap. You're just there in case of injury. But you're not having to stash him in the AHL where he's taking time away from players that – I mean, Rich doesn't need to play NHL games. Like, he's, what, 30? So, like, you're doing that to where – now you're taking away time from development. That was my biggest knock on Copley last year, was that he's taking the time away from development. So should or could the NHL use that premise to where you get a ghost goalie or an extra goalie where the cap doesn't is concerned and he's just there in the locker room drinking beer until he's ready to go?
I would say no, just because I think these guys, they got to have some reps. They got to have reps under their belts. And I was with you on the Copley thing, and it obviously ended up, you know, we ended up being wrong on that one, but
backfired, you know, immensely. Yes.
He played, but he played what, a dozen games or so in Ontario. So I think the reason that he earned the call up was because he played a dozen games and he played well. So I would rather somebody, if Rittich is going to be a guy, because chances are, if we say this as we sit here before camp officially kicks off, like, it certainly he's the next man up, you would imagine, if something happens to one of Copley or Tablets. You kind of want him playing. Mm-hmm. You want him to get at least some time there, because if something does happen, you're going to need him. You're going to need him sharp.
Let's throw it over to the forward group here. And obviously the highlight of the tournament was Laferriere and Pinelli's connection. Obviously Kromiak had some goals there and everything like that. Pinelli's been one of my favorite prospects, over 50 goals in the OHL, just lighting the lamp left and right. Laferriere dominated the NCAA, fan favorite coming in there. Should have got a cup of coffee last year. Come on, McLennan, what are you doing? Just get the kid a game. Mm-hmm. You know, let him go bucket list for the last.
Should have got that Ducks game that last.
Yeah, bucket list for 82. He should have been there, but it is what it is. And both those guys showed up for the tournament. Russ, you said their chemistry was on point. I mean, you multiple tweets there. People were seeing it there. Is this the future second line for the LA Kings? Maybe four years down the road.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I'm so excited with Alex Laferriere. I mean, every time I watch this kid play hockey, he's the most entertaining player on the ice when he's on the ice. He brings a physical element to the game. He's able to score. He skates really well. I mean, there's just a lot to like with Laferriere, and it's just a player that I glow whenever I watch him play, just going back to Harvard. So to see him now kind of develop this, like, Bash brother chemistry with Francisco Pinelli, it's like, they're almost like very similar, but very different at the same time, where they kind of look the same when they're on the ice. And maybe that has something to do with the numbers. One was 78, one was 73, and their size a little bit. But Pinelli maybe plays with a little bit more finesse, has a little bit more, like, a little bit more fancy to his game, I guess, where Laferriere is just kind of like that bull in a china shop where he's just going to make things happen, but then also get to the front of the net and then put bodies in the board. So, I mean, man, I just can't get more excited over what I'm seeing from Laferriere. And sure enough, he brought it again this rookie faceoff. And that was where I talked about, where the players that you expected to perform performed. And Laferriere did just that. So I'm just excited to see what he can do with the rain this year.
Yeah, you can see the playmaker to kind of shooter type of chemistry and combo that they had with Pinelli being kind of the silky playmaker and Laferriere being the shooter. Yeah, that they looked really good together. A guy I want to throw, and I know we talked a bit about Jamson, and maybe we can come back to him too, but I want to throw another name at there, Russ, just to get your thoughts on him, because I thought he surprised me. He was noticeable. I thought he looked okay. And I'm not even just talking about the fight, but Caleb Lawrence looked like he belonged, like he didn't look out of place out there. And again, I know this is a guy that's been on a little bit, but as a prospect, but I kind of liked what I saw out of Caleb Lawrence, and at least somebody that, you know, maybe if wasn't really on my radar, maybe now he is. I don't know if you saw what you saw of him you saw a lot more of the weekend. So
yeah, I definitely saw a lot with Caleb Lawrence. It's easy to see a guy who's what, 6'7", 6'6" on the ice, and he's big kid. I mean, and I also heard a lot of Caleb Lawrence on the ice, because he's a chirper out there. He loves to talk. And it's funny, because after the first game against San Jose, the two teams got to the center ice, shook hands, and did the whole thing. But then after the Coyotes game, the two teams didn't shake hands, and a lot of it was because there's a lot of jawing going back and forth as the two teams were leaving. And Caleb Lawrence was the main player that was kind of involved in a lot of that. So, yeah, he's an exciting player. And it's funny. He's almost kind of like a Sammy Hellenius a little bit, where he's just a big physical dude, physical guy. But then I think Lawrence has a little bit more offensive game to him. Yeah, and you saw that a little bit. But, yeah, I agree with you. I thought Lawrence had a good weekend as well.
A guy that maybe played one game before the draft because of injury. So, just a big unknown, you know, offensive skill. You know, maybe Keene's got a gem there. I think we're going back to here. Lieb comes in, says, hey, I like Zimmer too. Absolutely zero first step. But once he gets going, he's got the skill and can eventually get going. Jimmy Benn vibes, very raw prospect. He wasn't really raw in the minor leagues. Lots of goals, lots of finishing ability. But he seems more like that, you know, dancing a puck in a phone booth type guy, to where once he gets, he's able to shoot, he's able to pass, he's able to do what he wants to do within a 3-foot area. Russ, what did you see from him going into the faceoff?
Yeah, I like Zimmer. Plays very physical, almost kind of got that Dustin Brown element to his game, where he's just going to finish every check that he gets a chance. I agree with Lieb. I mean, he wasn't the best skater on the ice. He'd get the puck on his stick and then kind of take him a while to kind of get going. Once he's in the offensive zone, he's definitely one of the more creative players that the Kings had, and he played a lot of power play time for the Kings. So, yeah, I mean, if you give him time and space, he's definitely able to make things happen. It's just he's just a little bit more work in progress in terms of his skating ability. But, yeah, he's going to be going back to the WHL, and I'm sure he'll be lighting the lamp just like he did last year with them.
Yeah, another stint down there will probably be, you know, that'll be good for him. I didn't want to come in with any huge, like, preconceived or notions or any expectations for him. I guess because I was so excited after the draft pick about him, I thought he was one of their better picks. I was a tick underwhelmed in watching over the weekend, but I'm not losing any sleep over this. There's a talented player there. Be interested to see how this season goes in the WHL.
Talks about what you're saying. Coyotes game, Lawrence and Doan were jawing nonstop during the entire game.
One thing I'll say about that is, I mean, Josh Doan plays just like his dad. He looks just like his dad out there. It's crazy. I mean, just physical, like Lieb said, jawing back and forth. I mean, the Coyotes, I was able to watch the first game, and it's weird too, because they had Logan Cooley and Dylan Gunther there. They flew in for the first game, and then they left for Australia. So it was kind of weird that they even sent them there that weekend. But yeah, this is kind of looking at it where I said expectations were probably a little bit more measured for the Kings, because the teams that they were going up against had just talent on talent. I mean, you had, like I just mentioned, Josh Doan, Logan Cooley, Connor Geeky was on the Coyotes, Maverick Lamoureux we've talked about. And then the Sharks had William Eklund. The Ducks had Leo Carlson. So there's a lot of good talent. But yeah, I thought the Kings team overall fared pretty well against them.
Well, we'll get into the rest of the Kings stuff over in the land down under. But first, we're going to go to our sponsor here at DraftKings. We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us on the NFL action. With great offers every single game day, new customers can bet $5 and get $250 instantly in bonus bets. Throw down $5 on any week's action matchups and walk away an instant winner. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of the two new offers every single September. Football is more fun when you're betting on the action. So download the app now. Sign up with code THPN. New customers can get just $5. Just bet $5. Throw it down. Little five-ski. Get $200 in instant bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Code THPN. The crown is yours. I did a little betting this weekend. Came out broke even. A little bit on DraftKings. A little bit on some other apps that we're not sponsored by. But ultimately, came flat out. So not too bad. Not too bad. What about you guys? You guys throw any money down here on DraftKings this weekend?
So I went to the Circa in Las Vegas, because I had a couple buddies of mine say, hey, go check out the Circa Sportsbook. And I wanted to go watch the Colorado State game on Saturday night. And dude, that place is incredible in terms of, like, where if you want to watch like a sporting event, just go there. So I put a couple bets down. I didn't win any money, but it was more or less just trying to enjoy the environment. And but yeah, it was really cool. Really cool place. If you ever get a chance to go to Vegas, I highly recommend going to the Circa.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I've been in Vegas, but I did not go to Circa.
So Joe, I mean, you're a big bettor. Any action this last weekend, or what's going on?
I'll be honest. Like, I don't bet a lot of football, or hardly ever. I don't bet football. I usually stick to hockey. And that's it. Like, I I don't know a lot about football. I follow the Giants a bit, but like I know, you know, again, as you guys, you know, with our whole kind of bet stamp thing that we had, like I there's a whole like gambling industry. And from what I've learned, and I listen to a lot of what I consider smart and professional bettors, like the NFL is the most efficient market in, like, outside of maybe soccer, like in Europe, maybe, like there's no, you're not beating the books in the NFL. Chances are, like, obviously you can win some bets here and there clearly, but like in general, that's, that market is extremely efficient, and I'm not going to mess with that because I'm not there. So I'll take my chances when it comes to hockey. It's still a little bit more of a niche sport in terms of betting, and not nearly the market and the money and the quote unquote sharp bettors that are in the NFL. So I purposely, Randon, you see, responsible betting, purposely, like after hockey season, I take the money right out of my betting accounts to not even be tempted to bet baseball, because I don't mess with that either, and football, because I just don't mess with those sports.
Well, speaking of football, what, you want to throw something down for the Niners Giants this tomorrow night?
That's what. So what are, yeah, what are the odds on that? How much are the Giants getting?
I don't know what they're getting.
I'm going to need everything into it.
Oh, you're going to need the odds. Yeah, Saquon's out and everything like that.
10.5.
Is it? It's not 10.5. No way, it's 10.5.
10.5 at points bet. It's 10.5 at DraftKings. 10.5 at DraftKings.
10.5 at DraftKings. All right. We'll do. I'll give you 10.5.
Okay.
A bottle of liquor or wine.
Done.
Done. All right. Gentlemen's agreement.
Gentlemen's agreement. 10.5. I will. Let's do it.
All right.
All right, we're not betting any. I'm not going to get involved in any Charger games because I'll just be depressed.
Well, we're going from betting the Meadowlands into the land down under. So, Kings are in Vegas. Vegemite, anyone? According to CJ, and Al Smith says no thanks. I'll pass. Same thing with Kempe. Kempe, I don't know if you saw that. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. He tasted a half a spoon. And then he's like, oh, it tastes better on a cracker. He's like, I'd rather pass. But he knows he's on camera. He's like, I gotta try this. He like walks away, comes back. It was hilarious. I thought it was funny. But the Kings are down there. They've been down there, you know, for a couple of days now. Get a week of practice, you know, acclimation to the, you know, the time zone and all that kind of stuff like that. Got some games this weekend, ready to go. We haven't talked about the roster. We weren't here last week, you know, enjoying our last probably week off from the entire season. But I think there are some. I think there's some a lot of notes that we need to get to within what's coming up this weekend. Let's start with the mega hits, right? Obviously, the practice started off. PLD and Fiala were paired together. Fiala back to his normal self. Hey, we got to shoot. We got to pass. We got to do this. He's a little gunslinger out there trying to get the line fired up. What do you think about that so far? The tape looks good from what I've seen. That the practice has been going well with that pairing. I think it's a good indication. I think that's the number one thing I'm looking for this weekend.
Yeah. When you kind of saw the rosters that came from practice that Zach Tuohy tweeted out, I guess I wasn't really that surprised. It's kind of something that we more or less expected. The only real, spot in the lineup that we were curious about was whether or not Arthur Kaliev was going to be on that line with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kevin Fiala. And sure enough, that's what it came to, and it looks like they're keeping the nice line together. And this is just for the time being. Mm-hmm. But I remember Todd McClellan said that last year, and then that turned out to be the opening night roster. So I'll put a little bit more into it than maybe McClellan gives us. But yeah, this is what we expected. And if that line can really get going, I mean, I think that could be one of the more exciting second, third lines in the NHL. I mean, with how what we expect from Dubois this season, and obviously what we have come to know with Kevin Fiala in his first year with the Kings, and then with Arthur Kaliev, that shot he has. I mean, if those three can click in terms of chemistry, I mean, man, that's going to be just a dominating line for the Kings. But I mean, we expected that for the Kings with Kevin Fiala playing with Anji Kopitar and Adrian Kempe last year, and sure enough, they were split a few games into the year. So I'll measure expectations a little bit, but exciting.
Yeah, it's hard not to be excited about that line. I mean, the big question for that we've had is, can Kaliev you know, maintain that trust enough to keep that spot. And again, I don't want to go too crazy into the actual lines, I suppose, just because I think it makes a whole lot of sense for McClellan, especially over in, you know, the starting over in Australia, to just kind of ride with what they know right now. And then, you know, maybe later in camp, they start to play around with some things. That's kind of what I would have expected. But yeah, there's a lot of potential there. There's no question. I just think it's A, how does Kaliev and Kenny hold the spot? And B, like you alluded to, things never just really work out the way you think they're going to work out, right? There's never, Arvidsson was supposed to live with Kopitar. That didn't happen. Fiala was supposed to play with Kopitar. They ended up moving off of that. You just, things as things kind of evolve here over not only camp, but then the first 2-3 weeks of the season, you're going to get a flow of some things. You're going to see how things play out, and you never know how the lineups kind of ultimately settle, because it just, again, it just rarely works out as you expect.
Lieb coming here saying Kaliev getting lost in Fiala's chaos and getting his passes makes me unreasonably excited.
See, the thing about that is he won't get lost. I think I know where Lieb's going with this, and I agree with what he's saying, because Kaliev, this is a frustrating thing about him. He's a smart player. He has smart, maybe it's just because he's smart offensive instincts.
I think he's like, the defense is going to let him lose. Like, they're going to lose him in the shuffle of Fiala's chaos, and he's going to be wide open.
Fair. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. That's a good point, Lee, because I think then I agree even more, because Kaliev's brain is going to be more than capable of taking advantage of that, because his offensive zone instincts, this is why that I've talked about how I think the guy is a good bumper player, because you have to be so smart to play that position. I think he is that smart in the offensive zone when it knows where he needs to be instinctively without the puck. I think Kaliev is really, really good without the puck in the offensive zone, knowing, because he knows I'm a shooter and I have an elite shot. I have an elite release. I got to get myself into a spot to where whoever has the puck can find me. And I think he's really good at that. So I agreed, Lieb, that I apologize. I misunderstood the first one, but I think that if the defense is focused more on Fiala, he is going to take advantage of that. He being Kaliev, because I do think he's a smart offensive player.
I think that wing spot ultimately goes to the first guy that can grow a mustache. Because we see Fiala's got a mustache. PLD's got a mustache. And you got to have the Holy Triumphant. So let that be known. Any prospect that can grow a mustache is getting that spot. So if that's Laferriere, if that's Turcotte, is getting some. He's got some peach fuzz sometimes. It's an imitation mustache, but it's there. Maybe he gets put on that line. You got to have the Triumphant there. You got to have all three mustaches in a row. That's the only way you get the superpower bonus. But right now, Kaliev's in that spot. I think it's a good spot there for him, because, like I said, he does find the soft spots of the defense. He's able to almost get lost in translation, as Lee was saying, coming in there, trying to find a spot there. You know, PLD is going to be anywhere from down the wing, power forward, bring it to the net, or he's going to be in front of the net. Fiala just dances like a leaf in the wind. And then you're just going to all of a sudden see Kaliev in the slot, rifling that one timer, or he's got a lightning quick wrister. Like, he could take a bad pass from anywhere in his comfort zone and rifle a thing top shelf. So I think it's going to be interesting there. I do think that it's going to be an interesting line, the fact that he doesn't really play much defense this last year, but the year before he was defensively sound. Fiala just does whatever he wants, and PLD is going to have to carry that line. So it's almost like Fiala is not a jigsaw piece at all. He's just a little amoeba that rolls around and kind of fits where he needs to, but yep, he doesn't ever fit into a line perfectly. I think PLD is going to have to be the juggernaut or the glue of that line. We'll see how that works out. I think it's a good thing. We always talked about he needed a shooter, or that line needed a shooter, right? Because you have that big power forward, you have that playmaker, facilitator, and you just need a guy that can snipe. And looks like Kaliev's going to get that first shot.
Should we dub it the Sean Durzi line, where it's just going to be all offense and maybe not a lot of defense?
We could pour one out for the homies, but I think we could find. I'm hoping
it's easier for me to say that since he's not on the team anymore, I guess.
I'm looking forward to whenever we see Kevin Fiala on the ice with Brant Clark at the same time, just two guys that have, they don't play a position. They're just all over the ice.
It's just going to be them looking back at the goalie like, how did that go in? Yeah, you guys are both in the crease at the same time. Like, what is going on? No, I think we got to find a, if somebody can grow a mustache, we got, there's a lot of jokes and a lot of good line names that could be made. So throw in the chat. If it's an all mustache line, like where, what do we call them, that line? Throw in the chat, get in there and help us out with that. I think that is what I'm most looking at. Obviously you mentioned Brant Clark not coming into this. I really wanted to see him in that aspect injured, with the significance of that injury to be seen, but you're looking at a chance for Jordan Spence. It's not lost on Kings fans. What Durzi was able to do in that season was build time, build equity within the organization, and able to perform that year. This is Jordan Spence's opportunity. He had equity in the playoffs. Last year really didn't get that opportunity, and now is able to really shine coming here in Australia. Where do you think this starts for the defense there on that right side without Brant Clark there? How can Jordan Spence capitalize?
Yeah, it's his spot for the taking for now. He's definitely got the head start for it to be playing in these games. So, I mean, it's, you look at that third pair, it's kind of what we both what we all expected, right? With Andreas Englund on the left side and Jordan Spence on the right side. Yeah, start there. Jordan Spence is getting a great opportunity. He's more than likely going to be the quarterback on the second power play unit. So, I mean, if he can take that spot and run with it, then we'll more than likely see Brant Clark. I'm sorry, Brandon, but we'll probably see him in the AHL for sometime. I don't know how long it'll be, but I was going to ask you, I wanted to ask you guys, I know the report came out that Brant Clark is going to be, I guess, without contact for 7 to 10 days. Were you still surprised that he didn't still join the team in Australia? Because for me, like, this is obviously probably going to be a player that's more than likely going to be involved on the NHL roster and be playing with the Kings this season, more than likely than not, and who knows when that'll happen. But I would have expected to see him actually just go with the team, whether or not he was going to play at all, and just experience the Australia trip with them and practice with the team when they were there. What did you guys think from that?
I'll be honest, I didn't think a whole lot of it. I know Zach Dooley had a tweet earlier, I think, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, that he had talked to Rob Blake and had said that no, it's not a serious thing, and that he could open the camp in LA with the group in LA, and that the timeline just didn't work for Australia. I don't know. Perhaps, I mean, if he can actually start camp and skate, they're probably like, well, if he can't play, like, there's just go to LA and play and open up camp, skate, get on the ice and play, you know, and be a part of camp there. So that's kind of how I looked at it, was, you know, it's a lot travel wise. And if it's just going to be for, you know, to be a part of with the guys, I mean, I kind of get it, but for a kid like that, if there's an opportunity for him to skate, I think that's probably more important. But I don't know. I think it's a fair question, but
yeah, for me, it was all negative. For me, it was all negative. Not just because I don't get to see him play. No, let's diagnosis. I think the only reason that he's not on the plane is that this is a swelling type of injury. So we talk about knees, we talk about hips, that type of thing, right? Elevation, that kind of stuff, inflammation, all those types of things. Kopitar talked about multiple times with, like, the Salt Lake City stuff, all that kind of thing. You're looking at bonding with the group, bonding with the boys. If he's a part of this team for the whole season, like, you want to get that bonding moment, like him skating on ice and rehabbing for 7 days. When the team is skating and doing practices in Australia right now, where he could be skating uncontactedly, like, for me, it's a big deal. Like, I just don't think that it's – I'm not saying that his season is busted. I'm not saying that don't put money on him for Calder, even though I think Bedard is probably rigged. I think that you're looking at a player here that has done nothing but face trials and tribulations when it comes to making this roster. The first season he had COVID or some sort of illness, wasn't able to practice, and they shipped him back to the OHL, and then or wasn't able to do, and then he got 9 games or whatever, and then shipped him back to the OHL, and then he dominated. And then he came back in here and he got shafted for Canada's roster, and then he continued to dominate, and then he got allowed to be there and all this kind of stuff. I just think it's all like back and forth, him and Ha. And Brant Clark seems like the guy that'll put a potato chip on his shoulder and let it crunch for decades. And so maybe this is the fuel for the Norris Trophy for this season, Brant Clark Norris Trophy. I'm sure those odds are like plus 75,000. So if you want to throw a little $100 bet on that one, you might lose just $100. So I think that this might be something that fuels him, but ultimately it's a fun trip. You're going to Australia. You're having fun with the boys. You're going around. Like, you look at all the pitchers, like they're going to the rugby games. They're going to tennis. They're going to this. They're meeting other athletes. They're doing guest spots. They're walking around the city. Like, that's just an event that a young kid would love to have with teammates that he's supposed to be playing with this season. I think that's a huge miss for the Kings. And the only reason he's not there is that the injury is more than what we think it is.
Yeah. Some people in the chat are mentioning that it's probably obviously we don't know the entirety of the injury, and maybe he's getting better treatment in LA as opposed to going to Australia. But I mean, just if
Australia's not the middle of Africa. Like, they have first world treatment there. Like, what are we talking about?
I think the other part could be, and I don't know the exact itinerary, of course, but like, I think we're also, I think about the back end of the trip. Like, when the guys get back to Los Angeles, I'd be surprised if these guys probably get a day off or two, like full days off, because just to kind of get reacclimated. So I don't know. If you got a guy with an injury, that there's just a lot going on. There's a significant amount of travel. You know, maybe if this was in a different place that didn't take the toll that this travel does, that maybe he is on the trip. But I'm not reading too much into it. Again, I'm not discounting what you guys are saying. I get it. I think there's something to it. I will say, Randon, it took me way too long to get that potato chip joke, but I just got it and I love it.
Yeah.
Way too long.
I'm here for the laughs. That's all I bring to this group here. You got the analysis from the other two, and I crack jokes. Maybe people understand them or don't understand them.
That's why you're paying the big bucks.
I'll note though, because you know I did listen to McClellan in his press conference before camp started, or before the trip in Australia, and he there was a question about Jordan Spence, and you know he spoke fairly glowingly of him, right? He understands he's kind of an unknown commodity, kind of outside the organization, but within the organization, he's somebody that they're very aware of. They know what he brings, and that they, you know, even as a coaching staff, are rooting for the kid to succeed. So, I know Russ, and as much as I'd like to see Clark and Spence on the roster together, I definitely just lean more with, for everything that you could say that Clark deserves to be there because of X, Y, and Z, I don't see how you can't say the same exact thing for Jordan Spence. So I just think that if I had to say somebody's got the leg up, and I'm not even talking about the injury at this point, I've thought kind of Spence all along. So we'll see how it shakes out, though. This is an opportunity.
I thought that was a dad joke for a little bit. I thought you were trying to get back at me with a little leg up thing, you know, injury humor, but...
One last thing I'll say on the Clark thing, I guess, just to kind of look at it from another point of view, is if we're all expecting Jordan Spence to be on the NHL roster for the start of the year, Clark is more than likely to be on the Ontario Reign roster. So I guess having him back playing with the practicing with the players that he'll more than likely start the season with makes more sense then. So I get from that point of view too.
Well, let's get to the roster spots here. There's a lot of other acumen here. I mean, Jacob Doty's there, you know, just a big muscle. You know, he looks like a guy that can handle a kangaroo too. Working up some ice spots there. But I think we have a question here from a loyal fan here, Uru. Who do you see getting that third pair lefty spot, looking at pairing Englund, or is it England or Englund with Spence? Not looking good for Bjornfoot. So is this a spot that we want to see a little bit how he functions in a real aspect? I know there's only so much tape on the guy. How does he pair with a very versatile offensive defenseman in Spence? Is this an aspect of the weekend that you guys are looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to bet money, I'd put Andreas Englund right there in that lefty spot for the time being. I mean, we've talked about Bjornfoot a couple times now on this pod. I think a lot more in depth on the defensive grouping podcast that we did a couple episodes ago. But yeah, with Bjornfoot, we just haven't seen it yet, and just obviously this is the start of training camp, so it's hard to tell who's going to be taking that spot, but I think England has the head start there. But who knows? Maybe Tobias Bjornfoot just has a rock star preseason and a rock star training camp where he just really takes the reins for that lefty spot too. So, but for the time being, I'm going to have England there, and I don't think there's any surprise that he's starting there with Spence.
Right, forget about what I want to happen. I mean, I think it's England's job to lose. I think the contract that they gave him, while it's not significant, the multi-year deal they gave him, he's a left shot D. He just fits the mold, right? He's a big body. He's known more as a defensive defenseman. He's going to be physical. Again, it's not – I want to be cautious. I've said before, haven't seen a ton of him, so I don't want to go too crazy with, like, analysis. So just the prototype of player that he is just fits exactly the way they're going to play, right? Boring left shot D to do the job defensively, and then that right shot side is going to be Spence. Say Spence for now, like – Bjornfoot just doesn't offer that. He simply doesn't. I mean, I'm not a proponent here of Bjornfoot. I've talked about it. I think there's a small avenue with the way he distributes the puck that maybe that could be his kind of way out. But right now, it just screams England to me. And yeah, so to your question though, Randon, I'm very, very interested in watching how he looks and just to get a better, just for me personally, just to get a better feel on the player. But I definitely think that it's his job to lose.
Leave coming in here. I would love to see Mavari get a chance. He's so solid, not mind blowing, but he deserves to get an extended shot with the Kings. Hey, you're preaching the choir here, man, but ultimately it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I think you probably need to go to a deli, get yourself a nice little tuna sandwich and pour one out or chomp one out for the homie there. Cause that's his nickname. Force fed you that joke there. That was a force fed joke. I'll stop with it. I'm on a roll here tonight. I'm having some fun here. I'm looking at this way here, and I think this is going to be a fun trip. I mean, it's not going to be any indicative of what's going on. I'm excited about that second/third line. I'm excited about some third pairings here, but I also want to see how Byfield's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It really would be a chance for the kid to light the lamp a couple times, get on the scoreboard, really see that trip. I know that, even just in the post of this podcast, somebody talking in here, hey, the train is left for Byfield, right? And the expectations aren't there. And I agree, disagree. He's a second overall pick. He's playing on the first line for a playoff team. The expectations are definitely there. For me, maybe a little bit higher than my other co-host. Russ, you pointed out on Twitter, you put out what would be a stat line that the team would want to, or you would be comfortable with Byfield. So I'm just hoping I'm not really going to take – if he doesn't perform, I'm not taking much from this trip. But what would be good for the kid, what would be good for a lot of Kings fans is seeing him, light the scoreboard on fire and get a couple goals or a goal and a couple points on this trip and really show that he's a dominant player and moving into that realm, because ultimately there's a time to put up or shut up with him. And a lot of Kings fans have already crossed that point. A lot of fans are still holding that off, and most are right in the middle. So what do you guys think about this trip, and how is it important for Byfield to perform here?
I think it's just important for him to play well, just to get his feet under him, play well. And I definitely think if he can pick up a goal or score or grab a goal, a couple points, whatever it is, that would certainly maybe be a little bit of a deep breath and kind of sigh of relief that, okay, it's kind of off his shoulders a little bit. But I just think play well. Like it's the first game of preseason. I don't think there needs to be any over analysis one way or the other for a lot of these guys, including Byfield, but I hope to see him play well. I hope to see him be an impactful player on that top line. I'd be curious to see, they're probably not really working on much in terms of special teams, so I'm not going to read a whole lot into that, but I just want to see him skate well. What I'm looking for less from a production standpoint is more, can we see if the game is, we've talked about this ad nauseum with Byfield, like if the game is still quick for him, like he's a little jittery at times. He's not kind of just calm with the puck. when he gets it and looks to make a play. I want to see if he's doing those things. Is he not rushing when he gets the puck? Is he calm and looking to make a play? Things like that, right? I mean, those are the kind of things that I'm looking for, rather than, you know, we've seen what he did last year. He goes a million miles an hour and he can be impactful on a forecheck, all that stuff. But I want to see kind of that evolution of his game. And again, not reading too much into it in a short weekend here in training camp, but those are the things I'm looking for really over the next few weeks, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think this weekend is just more or less just, it's a showcase for Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to, but I guess going into the season. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the question I answered or asked on Twitter, Randon, because I was having a conversation with a couple of Kings fans and it really just pointed out to you like what the expectations were for Byfield from a point production standpoint would be. And because, I mean, last year at the end of the season, I mean, Tom McClellan and we were all seeing it, like all the good things were happening when Quentin Byfield was on the ice. He was playing well, he was involved, all great things, but obviously he just wasn't scoring. So it's getting to the point now where this season, you can't just have that anymore. You can't just have, at least he's playing well, but he's not scoring. I'm sorry. That's just not what it's going to be. So that's why I wanted to ask the question, like what would be like a good stat line for him to finish the season? And I was actually kind of impressed by a lot of the Kings fans. A lot of the answers I was getting were really measured and really, I guess, made a lot of sense. I mean, for me, my expectations are maybe 15 goals, 30 plus assists, around 45, 50 points a year on the year. Be totally fine with that. And that seems like what the average was from a lot of the responses I was getting from the Kings fans on Twitter. So I'm glad to see that. And I think those 15 to 20 goals, 30 plus assists, I think that would be a good starting point for Byfield to kind of grow into the player that we hope and expect him to be, whether it be a number one franchise center for the Kings.
That's I'm along the same lines, Russ, in that 15 goal range, 25 to 30 assist range is kind of where I'd like to, as a baseline, where I'd like to see him. And it's so frustrating because as somebody, and I know you're the same way in that, you know, you kind of look at more than just the raw goals and assists. Like we like to look at the things, as Randon likes when I say under the hood, to see how a player is actually playing and impacting the play. So I generally would prefer to like take the whole picture. But I think you make a really good point. Like he's kind of done that. And at some point there has to be production to it. And it's kind of that, it's tough because I played this kind of tug of war with myself because I prefer just that, those underlying numbers. If the process is there, like it's going to come, but at some point it just genuinely has to come and there has to start to be production. So you know, this is a big year production wise, because I think if you have another year where, yeah, he played well under the hood, everything looks great, but it's another 20-point season. Like that is not going to fly. So yeah, I would say at a minimum something in that 40-point range.
I mean, you have sometimes the car gets you from A to B, but it's not a good car. And eventually, you have to razzle dazzle. You have to pick up a girl for a date, and Quentin Byfield's got to get there. A king of the cup here, coming in with 20 goals, 60 points. Al Smith coming here 20 and 50. Total points. King of the Cup comes back and says plus 25 goal or plus minus. I think for me, I want to look like he's belong, but yeah, points matter. I'm a starch thing. You're the number two overall pick. The guy behind you is playing well. I mean, the guy in front of you isn't playing that well, I guess. Lafreniere. I've measured this. Ultimately, I think if he looks great in his position and has 55 points, I'd be fine. Or if he looks fantastic, he has 45 points, I'd be fine. Or if he looks, but if I'm hoping for 60 plus points.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be a point where you're playing with a Hall of Famer and a 40 goal scorer that you are putting up points on the board. And it can't just be enough that you're chasing down pucks on the boards. Like, sure. I mean, everybody was talking about Alex Iafallo. Hey, like he's not a first line center, and that's what a first line winger. He's not, that's what he was doing. He was doing all the dirty work, and everybody was upset about that. You can make excuses and all those kind of things. And I understand Byfield making additions to his game, right? He's adding all the ingredients into this recipe and I'm all for it. But sometimes I just want the sandwich to taste good. I don't care how it's made. I just want to see some points on the board. And Leap come in here and his sandwich is made with potato chips on a tuna sandwich. Like all good sandwiches. I do like a good crunch in my sandwich. Mm-hmm. So those potato chips.
Got to put the hot Cheetos or the Doritos on there.
Oh, you go.
Toast the bread, get a nice crunch with a nice Italian bread. Toast.
Yeah,
it.
Sometimes.
So you got the Russ with the hot Cheeto. You know, if you're coming out, you just trying to put it together on the road. Russ there, and then Joe's going with the gabagool advice and coming and say, hey, you got to toast that bread. You got to get some good bread. And you got to toast it. And hopefully Byfield's toasting the stat line here this season. But I think it's a big season for him. And he's not put up or shut up, not like get rid of the player or anything like that. But I think he knows that this is a huge year for him to perform. He's getting the opportunity, and he's got to make the stat line sing.
Well, hey, you talked about it, I think, on the last show, Randon. Like, if you're Byfield and you're seeing some of these contracts being thrown out to these young kids, like, buddy, I mean, if there's ever a time for you to have a season, this might be it. So go get it. Go.
Give me some of that 8x8.5 season. Come on, Byfield. Leap coming here. Joe is at every deli counter in New Jersey getting that toasted bread coming in here. I'm going to throw it out to the group here. You know, Joe, you're about to say something. You want to come on the bread, or are you coming out on the player?
Nope, not. I was going to take it in a different direction to a different player, but hey, you fire it where you want to fire it.
No, I was throwing it out there. You know, I was throwing it out there to the group. Where do you want to take this conversation here? We talked about the big hitters. Is there any small little topics that you guys are interested in?
Yeah, there is actually. There is. So we've had conversations, and we broke down kind of top line, middle six, bottom defense, bottom line, all that stuff, right? And we kind of talked about competitions and this and this and this and this and, you know, Fagimo and Anderson Dolan and maybe Akil Thomas, maybe LaFerriere has a surprise. Grunstrom is still here. He continues to show well. Alex Turcotte, is he going to play? All this stuff. I don't think any of it's going to happen. Trevor Lewis is making this team. Trevor Lewis is on this team. And I think we had the conversation, if we went back and listened, we talked about it, and we had all this like fun conversation about all these other players, but we kind of were like, but Trevor Lewis, as much as we think he's maybe should be the odd man out, he probably isn't going to be the odd man out. And if you listen to Todd McClellan's comments a few days ago, he's consider me stunned if he's not on this roster. So there's one spot. Let's call it what it is. And Grunstrom's here. It's Grunstrom, Fagimo, Anderson Dolan for me. I guess if there's a surprise, maybe Fagimo and Anderson Dolan are the ones that don't make it, and maybe it's an Akil Thomas or an Alex Turcotte. But we're talking like the battle for 13th forward is how I'm looking at this. Again, hey, maybe this changes over the next couple of weeks, but the one of the biggest takeaways, and they haven't even, I shouldn't say they stepped on the ice, they have stepped on the ice for practice, but like Trevor Lewis is for anybody that maybe had thoughts of him maybe kind of being the odd man out and yada yada, like he's making this team and he's going to play. So there's that competition in the bottom on that fourth line. I don't know how much of one there really is.
I don't know. I know that there's not a lot of like media talking to Todd McClellan about who's making the roster and how the media should be advertised. But you wouldn't know it that Alex Turcotte is on this trip other than his own Instagram, right? Like, so like we're talking about, I mean, I talked about the Brent Clark thing. Like Turcotte's having a chance to play with the boys. And I think this is a huge for him, right? Like he's been away from hockey, injured constantly. Now he's a chance to be there with the boys, go on this trip, have a good trip, do all this kind of thing. And is this his launch point for Alex Turcotte to potentially make this roster? Now, and obviously you're talking about Trevor Lewis, but I mean, Trevor Lewis isn't Nate Thompson isn't Trevor Lewis. Well, congratulations, Nate Thompson, for having a role on the strength and development staff there. And
he was in Vegas, the training. Same with Stoll and company.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying like is this a launching point for Turcotte for this season to where he could have a good couple games? I mean, I think they're probably not going to play all the mega starters for every single game. So he's going to have an opportunity. Like, is this a chance for him to not only mesh with the boys, get some confidence in his own right, enjoy the trip, and maybe put a foundation at the start of the season?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like when I went to the El Segundo and I saw the guys kind of practicing, quote unquote, just unofficial practice before they left, I was really happy to see Turcotte out there, and I was watching him. He looks really good. it's just good to see a healthy Alex Turcotte because we haven't seen it that much. So the thing that kind of struck me a little bit is it seems like he's the fifth center on this team. So if a center goes down, it more than likely would be Alex Turcotte that would be the next man up, which I mean, I'm happy with, because with, like Joe just mentioned, right, there's really no spots available. And we can maybe argue a little bit about whether the Grundstrom left side of that fourth line spot is available, whether it be Grundstrom or Fugimo or Jared Anderson Dolan or whatnot, but whatever. But it seems like Alex Turcotte is that fifth center. So it's a good starting point for him. I mean, you're not going to change anything when you have Kopitar, Dubois, Deneau, and Lizotte. So those four are obviously going to be the four centers that you have to go to the NHL. But Alex Turcotte, he's the next man up when if there's an injury or anything like that in the center position. So I'm happy to see it. I hope, cross the fingers, that he stays healthy and gets his chance, because I'm excited, because every time we watch Alex Turcotte play, especially with the rain, he just looks like a great player. So I hope he gets his opportunity, and I'm looking forward to a good season for him.
I'm happy for the player that he's had a good offseason here. He's on the trip, and I think McClellan talked about this with Jacob Doty, how this was that organization recognizing and rewarding Jacob Doty, and even saying, like, listen, there's, had he not missed all of last year, a significant portion of last season with injury, maybe he would have an NHL contract. So I think they wanted to reward him. And maybe this is an example with Turcotte where they're looking to say, listen, you've earned it. You've worked your ass off. You've had some rough luck with injuries. So, I can see them, that being a big part of the reason why he's there. Also to showcase himself, but I don't know where he plays. Like, so to your question, Randon, like, I don't know. I don't think so, just because I don't know if it's a jumping off point, because I don't know where he jumps to. I don't know where he plays. You know, I just don't think there's going to be.
He jumps into all of our hearts.
And I hope he does. Like, I'd love for him. I echo Russ. Like, every time he plays, I enjoy watching him, but I'm really tempering my expectations or excitement just because there's not a lot of spots here on this roster. You know, I mean, we just, if you look at the Kings right now, have 13 forwards, and they probably are going to carry 13 forwards, right? They're probably not going to have the cap space to carry 14. So when you're in Grundstrom, Anderson, Dolan, that's it. Again, unless somebody, you know, maybe pushes Anderson Dolan out, right? And Fugimo maybe pushes Anderson Dolan out. Maybe Akil Thomas, depending on how camp goes, pushes Anderson Dolan out. But that's it. Like, I just don't know where they play. So,
let's play a little game of crystal ball here. Let's play a little game of crystal ball, right? Blake Lizotte's last season as on his contract. What if some injuries happen to where, what, not maybe not to Blake Lizotte, or maybe just to the Kings in general, where Alex Turcotte does get that 4C option and he does perform? Does he now alleviate that obligation for Lizotte to be re-signed to where they feel confident enough for him to be in the organization?
I think I just saw a tear come down Joe's eye right now. But I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just going to say, like, if there's a player I want Alex Turcotte to just shadow, it's Blake Lizotte. Just do everything that Blake Lizotte does, because that will make you a quality NHL player. Sure. I mean, Alex Turcotte probably has a lot more potential coming into an NHL career than Blake Lizotte did, but Blake Lizotte has turned into a quality NHL player. And I'm with you, Joe, and I will go to war against anybody who talks down on Blake Lizotte, because he's just been an outstanding player. He's always the player, like, you come away with not wanting more from watching an NHL game when Blake Lizotte is in the lineup, because he's just always going to leave his heart out on the ice. So, I mean, yeah, if let's say that there is a situation where Blake Lizotte doesn't get re-signed, maybe he has a good year and then he gets a better contract from another team, then I wouldn't be just too disappointed, because if you have Alex Turcotte that can kind of grow into that potential, yeah, I see it. I mean, as long as we can re-sign my boy Matt Roy, I think I'll take that trade.
Joe is sad, but Lieb is speaking for Joe and the rest of Lizotte. Lizotte is never leaving our hearts.
He's not, and he's also not leaving the Kings. He's still a restricted free agent. He's not going to really go anywhere. I don't think they're not going to, you know, he's an arbitration eligible restricted free agent, and he's going to be with the organization, and he should be with the organization. That's what kind of makes the Turcotte thing a little interesting, because you've got presumably your four centers, you know, locked up for a bit here. So to your point, Russ, if he is indeed that fifth center, then you're hoping for injury. You know what I mean? Not hoping for injury, but he needs an injury in order to get in. So I still think there's an avenue for him to shift to the wing, just because otherwise he's not going to play.
Do you think then he's more of a replacement for Jared Isandolin rather than Blake
Lesko? So I guess where I thought maybe there was a battle for like two or three spots, maybe both wings on that line and the extra forward. I think really there's probably only one spot, because I think Lewis is playing right wing. Even if Grundstrom isn't the everyday left winger, I think Grundstrom's on the roster. So I think there's one roster spot in my, I don't think that, I mean, maybe it's a hot take. My opinion is there's one roster spot up for grabs, and that's kind of the 13th forward. Is that Anderson Dolan? Is that Fagimo? Is that Turcotte? That's maybe where the battle is. And the way, that's how I'm looking at this is I think there's a battle for the 13th forward spot.
Which at that point, sorry, Russ, but is in that point, who needs more ice time? Turcotte does. Where, like,
correct.
He needs to play second C in AHL. And Jad, no offense to him, he's already been playing that fringe player for the last couple of years. Not that he's used to it, quote unquote. I don't know a better way to say it, but he's has the acumen to play anywhere on the lineup, just like Turcotte does. He has been in that position before. It would seem to me that Turcotte needs the minutes to where if he's not penciled in as an everyday starter, then he needs to play in the AHL.
Yeah, and I've said that. I think I said that on an episode a couple episodes ago. Is if he's healthy coming into the year, I would just love to see him on the NHL roster. That's why I'm kind of disappointed that still have him at that center position, because I would just love to see him on the wing just so he can get that opportunity. Because for me personally, I'd love to see him be that winger playing alongside Blake Lizotte and Trevor Lewis as opposed to Carl Grundstrom. Maybe that's too much of the same player on one line, but I mean, like we've seen from Alex Turcotte, he just hasn't been healthy enough to get the opportunity. And now that he's finally healthy, give him the opportunity, give him the chance. This is a player that was drafted fifth overall. Put him on the
wing. I just don't know. Grundstrom produces when he plays.
Does he?
Yes. Does he? Yeah, we
talked. Yeah, he was third on the team in shooting percentage.
He
was number one on the team in hits. And he does a lot of things. Grundstrom is my boy. You better not be disgracing
building. I have been somebody along kind of like Russ, which says, like, all right, I've kind of seen enough, I think. But when I look and dig into the numbers a little bit, it's like, Jesus, the guy does produce when he plays. It's like, what else are we asking for when you talk about he put putts in the net? He sets guys up. He contributes in terms of shot contributions. He's a physical presence. What more is the coaching staff asking for out of the guy?
He's the PB&J of this lineup. It's solid. It's good every time you have it.
Man, we never love sandwiches today.
I'm hungry. I haven't had any dinner. I'm hungry. But like, it's true, though. He's the PB&J of this lineup. Like, you can get some pizzazz from the jelly. He's good every time you eat it. You can cut the crust off and get a little saucy from time to time. And then if you go uncrustable, you're knocking people. You're knocking people wild on that type of thing. God, I'm hungry.
And this is, I hate wheat bread, and it just feels like Trevor Lewis is wheat bread right now, and I can't stand that. I hate being negative because I love Trevor Lewis, like love Trevor Lewis, but man, you're robbing us of potentially. Again, one of these other guys being in it just, and again, I get it. Like he wants that kind of stable veteran guy, yada, 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 all that stuff. But
I guess it's just like, do we expect Trevor Lewis to play a full 82 game season? I mean, he could, no. Right? He's done it. He did it last year, but I would be surprised if he did.
Based on Tom McClellan's tenure, yeah.
I expect him to play 70.
yeah. For me, like, I would just love to see them transition Turcotte to the wing just to give him a chance. Agreed. Don't wait for a center to get injured or whatnot, which we obviously hope doesn't happen. But I mean, it's just like, I just go back to kind of Rasmus Kupari last year, where they were just so hell bent on keeping him in that center role when it just wasn't working for him. And I just would have liked to see what would have happened if they would have transitioned him to the wing. And this is kind of what I want to see out of Turcotte, especially like if you want to keep Blake Lizotte next year, then where's Turcotte play? Because he's going to have to be a winger. I mean, because
that's what I'm saying. Yes.
You have Lizotte, Deneau, and Dubois and Kopitar signed for the next 2 years at least. Mm-hmm. I just want to see Turcotte on the wing because I think that's where he'll get his actual opportunity to play with his team.
Or like, if they envision him as a center, if the Kings view him as a center, then to Randon's point, get him in Ontario, let him play all the center minutes that he can eat. Hopefully he has a good productive season. And let's call a spade a spade. I mean, maybe he's a chip. Maybe he's a deadline chip. Maybe he regains some value and he's a deadline chip. I mean, I don't think we can sit here and say that anybody at this point, you know, we saw Gabe Vilardi just had a kind of a breakout season finally, and he's gone. So like, I think Rob Blake is, you know, comfortable in terms of making a tough decision if he has to in a trade, but I agree. I like the player when he's healthy. I want to see him shift to the wing. I think that he can battle and be in that spot. It's one of those, it's a fine line because I think, as Randon points out, I think this is a guy that hasn't had a ton of games over the last couple of years. And if there's anything he needs, it's ice time. And if he's not going to get it on a nightly basis in the NHL, I think with other guys like Fagimo, for example, like, or he doesn't need to necessarily play every day, I don't think, right? Mm-hmm. He can be a guy that's that 13th forward and you can spot in and he can do what he's going to do, right? He's a shooter, all that stuff. I do think it's different with Turcotte just because of all of the injuries and just kind of the in and out of the lineup over the last couple of years, that my opinion is it's a little different for him, that he actually does need some more time. So I kind of buy into the AHL development a little bit more with Turcotte than say I do with somebody like a Fagimo.
Yeah, and when you kind of look at the center depth of the prospects right now, I mean, we've heard Nelson Emerson talk glowingly about Samuel Hellenius, about mm-hmm. how he can be a future bottom six in the NHL, and mm-hmm. and if that's going to be with the Kings, then we'll have to wait to see what happens there. And then there's also another player that we haven't even mentioned, that's Akil Thomas. I'm really curious to see what happens with Akil Thomas, and then also since he's getting the opportunity to train with the team in LA, he'll more than likely get a chance to showcase himself during some of these preseason games. So that'll be a player to watch too, because he's obviously played the center position as well. He's played almost every position.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. There's a couple of pieces. I get where you're going, Joe, where maybe you see a trade involved with one or two of these players. But, I mean, I guess also too, is the Kings have already traded quite a bit of their prospect pool. I would like to try to see them grasp onto some of their higher end prospects for as long as they can. But I guess for a team that's contending or wants to win a Stanley Cup, like everybody's talking about, you might have to make some of those risks or make some of those decisions where you get rid of some of those prospects.
Yeah.
And we will see when that comes this season. I'm just excited to watch some hockey this weekend. Thank you everybody for coming in the chat. As always, you can find all of our articles at hockeyroyalty.com or follow us on Twitter at hockey_royalty, at randocommando24, at NHLRussell, at JWPaterino. For all your rain content, at Kopitar4HOF. Hey, if you want to make some bets this weekend, DraftKings code THPN. Man, glad to be back, boys. Hockey's in town. Let's go. I love it. Thank you guys for coming in the chat. And as always, on this podcast, Go Kings Go. Like and subscribe. All that good nonsense. You!